بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وعلى من استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين آمين. We're going to move now, continue on from the text of the book of Shaykh al-Lawahiq, where he mentioned to remind us, after we've looked at all of these texts and nusus, we see that from the standpoint of the nusus, ghulu is definitely forbidden. And we also read some text, if you recall, he mentioned for the treatment of this sickness. And we have also seen that the deen is founded upon ease and upon taking away hardship from people. And there are several other matters he wants to bring forth as to when or what ghulu is tied to or connected with. And then he goes on to list some ways it shows itself. So inshallah, this is what I wanted to deal with today. First, he says that one of the things that lead to it, that help it to foster ghulu, or that are characteristics of it, he mentions that al-ghulu is connected with the understanding of the text. أن يكون الغلو متعلقا بفقه النصوص وذلك بأحد أمرين. And that in two matters. Sometimes it comes from the explanation of the text with a harsh explanation, يعني تفسيرا متشددا, that which contradicts or that which goes against the ease, the general ease of the Sharia, or that defies or contradicts its maqasid or its aims. Therefore, people become hard on themselves and hard on others. And the second amr or matter that is tied to the nusus is when people, they put meanings that are not there or more meaning that is there in something. Therefore, they enforce matters on the Muslims that are not ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they're not responsible for. And this is basically almost all of the groups done this in some way. He also, in the second matter, point two, he says it is often tied to rulings, بالأحكام, متعلقاً بالأحكام. So the first word, متعلقاً بفقه, in the source, and second, متعلقاً بأحكام. And that's also in two matters. One, making as a necessity upon the people, upon oneself or upon others, that which Allah had not made wajib, had not made a duty, as a matter of ibadah or a matter of tarahuban, something that is pushed upon the people. This is something which actually is limited, so to speak, or tied with a person's ability, with individual's ability. And we mentioned this actually before, I believe. And he's just saying, for example, when someone goes beyond their ability, even if it's something that originally is according to the Sharia, they do it beyond what is called for. So what happens is, this leads to, or this is a type of ghulu. As we mentioned in the hadith, and I'll just remind us, the hadith of Abi Israel, it's narrated by Ibn Abbas, that the Nabi alayhi salam was giving khutbah, was talking to the people, or giving khutbah, and there was a man who was standing up, and he asked about him, and the people said, this is Abu Israel who swore that he was going to stand in the sun and not sit. You see? And he was not going to talk to anyone, and that he was going to fast. So the Prophet said, order him to speak and to sit and to break his fast. So these are all matters that are in the Sharia that are allowable and even meritorious. This person had gone too far in making this vow to do them perpetually. Then he brings forth that which is tied to ahkam. people go so far as to forbid that which is good, which or that which Allah has allowed. They forbid that which Allah has allowed, thinking that this is some type of act of meritorious act of worship. And this also is going too far. It is ghulu, it's extremism or excessiveness. And this is as we had talked about in the hadith about three men. You know, the three men who said they were, one said he wasn't going to rest, he was going to stand all night in prayer. The other one said he wasn't going to get married or deal with women, and so forth. Then he mentions people leaving off those things which are the necessities, or some of them. For example, eating, or drinking, or sleeping, or marriage. And they do this, and this is also business. And we see this again in the story of the three men, who finally the Prophet said, whoever wants other than my sunnah is not from me. He goes on and mentions a third point. He said when it comes to people going too far regarding their position towards others, he said there's two matters here. For example, one where people take a position of praising someone excessively until it gets to the point where the person or the jama'at gets to the level of being in their sight perfect and faultless. And therefore they take the truth, they take them as the origin of truth. Whereas the origin of truth is Kitab Allah and Sunnah of Rasul alayhi salam. And then in the next point where people do the opposite, where people take a position regarding certain individuals or jama'at, constantly blaming them for everything or finding them blameworthy for every little thing. So they end up calling people kafirs and so forth, thrusting them out of the deen, or even whole societies, and calling whole societies of Muslims, and calling societies of Muslims as though they are like the people of Jahiliyyah. So the ulama have gone forth and they've mentioned their definition of ghulu, and we mentioned that before, so I'm not going to repeat that, and that because I believe that is clear in our minds. He goes on to mention a picture of this problem, how it really manifests itself, and he mentions the reality is that the people who follow the da'wah of the messengers, there are different types of people regarding it, and you find the way people approach it or deal with the deen of several types. And he mentioned one being those who hold tight to the truth and they follow the straight path. And there are those who are negligent and they drop off many of the things that Allah has mentioned. And there are those who go too far, whereas we're supposed to be balanced. And we have mentioned this before. Surah An-Nisa verse 171, in talking about Ahlul Kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather says, Ya Ahlul Kitab, La taghlu fi dinikum wa la taqulu ala Allahi illa al-haq. Innama al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam Rasulullah wa kalimatuhu alqaha ila Maryam wa ruhun min fa'amanu billahi wa rasulihi wa la taqulu thalatha antahu khayran lakum innama Allahu ilahu wahid سبحانه أن يكون له ولد وله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكفى بالله وكيلا. To roughly translate, and we mentioned this verse before about the people of the book, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes them not to go too far in the religion and not to say about Allah except the truth. For indeed Isa, Masih Isa ibn Maryam, is nothing but a messenger of Allah and a word which was given or sent to Maryam and a spirit from him. Therefore believe in Allah and his messenger and don't say Trinity. In fact, to stop is better for you. For indeed Allah is but one God, Subhanahu. He is above and free from being in need of any type of son. And for to him is all that is in the heavens and the earth. And enough is Allah as a wakil. And he mentions other verses which we also mentioned about Ahli Kitab, to reemphasize this point, We mentioned these verses early on in our introduction to the topic. So again, I'm going to move a little quickly to move past that point. What he gets to, which I want to read point by point, is some of the manifestations of ghulu in these present times. And he says people in general fall in the following categories. And he lists quite a few here. And if we just read them, I think it'll be enough for us to reflect upon them. Al-ghulu fi mafhum al-jama'ah. Going too far, being extreme in their understanding of what the jama'ah is. And what they do, they make the jama'ah that we're all ordered to stick to, their jama'ah in particular. Our jama'ah is the one on the truth. And everybody else's jama'ah is off. In other words, اثنين الغلو في تعصب للجماعة, which is the same thing, similar, very close in point. That is the first, he says, الغلو في مفهوم الجماعة, in understanding what the جماعة is, and الغلو في تعصب للجماعة, that is people, you know, being, as I mentioned, very, very biased and holding tight to the opinion or the practices of a particular jama'ah without regard to any others. So one and two are related. And three, الغلو بجعل الجماعة مصدر الحق. When what happens, they end up, they go too far in making the jama'ah the root of the truth, that is the source of the truth. Well, this is not the case. The jama'ah is not the source of the truth. The Kitab Allah and it's Rasul. This is always the general the rule. Four, الغلو في قائد الجماعة. Excessiveness when it comes to the leader of a particular jama'ah. This person is so great or that great, and anybody who differs from him is off, regardless of whether the person is right or wrong. Five, تكفير بالمعصية. Making people kafirs because of their sin. He can't be Muslim because he's doing that. She can't be Muslim because she's doing this. And out of the fold of Islam, for sins that are not necessarily sins, would take a person out of the fold, even though they are great. And as you can see, this is like the ideology of the Khawarij, which we mentioned. Another idea which is similar to theirs, takfir al-hakim bighayri ma anzala Allahu bil-itlaq. Bil-itlaq. Six, making takfir of the ruler, that is the one who rules by other than what Allah revealed. Absolutely. There's no distinction. Means in any manner, in any form, no matter intention, non-intention, whether it's i'tiqadi, amali, all of these different matters, this is an issue of the day. And a very hot issue, and the issues cause a lot of problems. However, it's extremism goes here, when people make absolute kafirs of people who do this. تكفير الأتباع المحكومين. This is سابع. تكفير الأتباع المحكومين بغير ما أنزل الله بإطلاق. Making absolute kafirs those who follow those rulers who rule by other than what Allah has revealed. Absolutely. In other words, making no distinction. ثمانية. تكفير الخارج عن الجماعة. Anyone who goes outside of their jama'ah, they make him a kafir or she a kafir. Another aspect of the way this happens is real in this life, in these times. تسع. تكفير المقيم الذي لم يهاجر في المجتمعات المسلمة المعاصرة. Subhanallah. Making takfir of the people who remain, the residents, who don't do hijrah in society, in Muslim society, in modern Muslim society. 10. عشرة. تكفير المعين دون اعتبار للضوابط الشرعية. Making takfir of specific people, and pointing out to this individual specifically as a kafir without considering the guidelines of the Sharia. And there are guidelines before someone can call someone else a kafir specifically. 11. تكفير من لم يكفروا فكفروا الناس ظلما.
أُمَّ كَفَرُوا مَنْ لَمْ يُكَفِرُهُمْ. Making takfir, taking people out of Islam, whoever doesn't take out of Islam, who they take out of Islam. And then they end up calling people wrongly as kuffar, disbelievers, and they go on after that to make or call people kafirs who don't call them kafirs. And it just leads one to another. You don't, because there's a rule in Islam. Whoever does not recognize or who does not admit, in other words, don't recognize kufr with clear kufr as kufr is kafir. And they say, they alter that a bit and say whoever doesn't recognize kufr as kufr is a kafir. Absolutely. Again, without following, as the previous point, the general rulings or the guidelines for doing this. They go too far. 12. Taking a position regarding Muslims as not taking them on face value for their Islam, but only after testing them, yani doing some kind of test of the people, yani testing out folks' Islam.
This is ghulu.
He's listing them now, and he brings evidence that all of this is wrong throughout these volumes. 13. Calling al-qawl bi-jahiliyya al-mujtama'at al-muslimah al-mu'asira. Now, this is very sensitive, but he's saying that the statement calling the modern Muslim societies as jahiliyyah, this amounts practically to making takfir of them. It's very dangerous. And even though we will admit that there are many things, aspects of great sinfulness and going against the Sharia in Muslim societies, but to call them jahiliyyah is going too far. And there's some roots to this, these statements, again, which he gets into details later. 14. The ruling of on the Muslim lands that they are nothing but Dar al-Kufr. I mean, that the lands where the Muslims live or control, rather, calling them kufr, which therefore they make halal their blood and make halal their wealth, taking it, their blood and their wealth, all on this foundation that they are Dar al-Kufr. 15. People going too far, ghulu, fi mafhum al-taqleed wa inkar al-ijma'a. And they're going too far when it comes to taqleed, following, and their rejection of ijma', consensus. Also, on the other hand, ghulu, when it comes to putting down, faulting the muqallideen, those who follow, and claiming that this taqleed takes them out of Islam. 17. Putting upon all of the people, and he's trying to say that everybody can do ijtihad to come up with Islamic rulings, and everybody can apply their own reasoning, regular people, anybody, to come up with Islamic rulings. This is ghulu. 18. Making forbidden that which is good, which is basically meaning what Allah has made up, tahreem al-tayyibat. 19. In general, tashaddud, being harsh with the people. Tashaddud al-nas, being harsh with them. Hitting them between the eyes. The bid'ah bazookas. 20. Totally going away, rejecting khuruj, outside or away from the Muslim ruler. Then 21. Al-khuruj al-hakim al-ja'ir أو ظالم, or whether the ruler is one who's, I guess you can say, benevolent or protecting, who's safeguarding things, or whether they're a wrongdoer or oppressive. Point 22. Resorting to assassination and including, for example, the people who have a treaty, they're called Mu'ahideen, Ahl al-Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, or those who are under the protection of the Islamic State, put it like that. Those who are under the protection of the Islamic State, assassinating them and committing acts of destruction and terror. Some make it halal. They say they're kuffar in our country, we can get rid of them. And this is, we see this extremism has manifested itself.
Is that like into like
not talking about occupiers, not talking about armies, talking about people who are sometimes in these places as tourists or to work, and they make it halal to kill them.
What about like in Saudi Arabia? You have the army that's there, but they're there by the government's permission.
Exactly. So some people will consider them as mu'ahideen because they have a treaty, they have an agreement, they are under the protection and the auspices of the government there. So it's not allowed, therefore, to attack them because they're not at war, they're at peace, they're an allies and has a treaty with them. Even though we will find it detestable or in some ways going against the Sharia, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, La dinas al jazeera, that they're not two religions on this peninsula. So this is one of the bases that caused much upset and turmoil amongst various groups and differences amongst students of knowledge and scholars. And may Allah help us. 23. People going so too far and making haram education and calling to illiteracy. People not, you know, you don't read. SubhanAllah. No need. And we see this in deen, of course. Again, the Muslims are not exclusive to this stuff. Or 24. Forbidding the prayer in the masjid. Oh yes, there's groups that do this. They forbid prayer in the masjid because they say the masjids are not built upon taqwa. They claim this. They say, you know, the masajid, it's more rightful, as the ayah says, that one should enter the masajid that are built upon taqwa. And so they say the masajid aren't built upon taqwa. And therefore they narrow all the masajid. The only masajid you can go in to therefore become with them, these extremists, only four. Guess which ones they are?
Masjid Nabawi.
That's right. Masjid Nabawi, Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Aqsa, and Masjid Quba. This is the first masjid in Islam. But Nabi alayhi sallam stopped on his hijrah from Mecca to Medina. He stopped there to pray, and they established a masjid in that place. And it's said that to make two rak'ahs there, sunnah, is like equal to making the getting the reward of Umrah. This is the hadith. 26. People going too far in them separating themselves from society, anything that has to do with society. 27.
Going too far when it comes to making hijrah from societies, leaving societies.
28. People saying that the rulings must be applied piecemeal or in gradations. And they go too far here. There's some truth to that. But they go too far. What they're saying is that we live in the time like the time of Mecca. So therefore, we're going to follow the Islam that to the point they followed while in Mecca before Hijrah. This is incorrect. And 29, which is the last point mentioned, they go so too far in making haram people to work in government jobs. He goes on, what's the roots of this stuff? And this is very interesting. He says, okay, he breaks it down into, as far as modern manifestations of this. One, okay, it has historical roots. Second, of course, it has ideological roots and things that are based upon, you know, actual events or deeds. And it has roots, actually psychological, internal roots. So he gives a mukhtasar, a summarization here. One, historical. The one who studies the madhab of the Khawarij, for example, you will see many of these, that they share much, or many of the current groups or present groups, well, present people who are extreme share characteristics with them, such as making takfir, right? Making kafirs out of anyone who commits major sin. Separating themselves away from society completely. Making people who don't do hijrah, making them out as kafirs. Making Muslims out as kafirs. Saying that the lands of the Muslims are nothing but lands of kufr, disbelief. Therefore they make halal the blood. You see, the Quraysh went so far that they slaughtered Muslims, and they even cut the pregnant woman. They killed her and cut open her belly and killed the fetus. This is how far they went. And the Prophet ﷺ said about them that they're the dogs of the hellfire. And he said about them that they would recite the Quran, that their recitation actually would rival or put to shame some of the recitation of the Sahaba, but that recitation would go no further than their throats, and that it would pass through them like the arrow passes through the prey. So he put them down and mentioned their danger even before they occurred, and he even pointed to the man from whose loins they stemmed. Now, because they share, that is, the modern day extremists, may share some of these characteristics, don't mean they take it directly from them. Because you will see also that it becomes very clear that some of them do this stuff and they don't know anything about the Khawarij. And they didn't know anything about the Rawafid, you know, like the Shia or anything. They don't know anything about it, but they do the same thing for different reasons. And as it has become clear to the Shaykh from his study, again, you remember this is put together over 8 years. So he's done a very deep study. And if you look at his Muraja'at, his research that he did is intense, very deep. Nothing like at all the writer of this book, Abdurrahman al-Luwayhiq. Some things, even though, you know, there's a relation or some of the things they do have, you know, a similarity. He says there's several things, realities, that come into play. One is of the circumstances of people, time, and place. And this is what brings forth some of these opinions that are off. And sometimes it's a situation, for example, some people, it's not easy for them to get books. Not easy for them to get knowledge. And so what happens, they never read about these groups, so they wouldn't fall into the error. Like, they never got anything about Khawarij. They never got anything about the Murji'ah and the Mu'tazila and so on and so forth. So they don't have any idea that what they're doing is the same thing. That's deep, because, you know, that's like that saying, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. And he also says, sometimes there are new issues that come up. And modern issues that come up, people arguing about it, and a discussion about it. And depending on circumstances or events, sometimes they might find things that occur that we don't find necessarily a principle or something that dealt with that thing specifically, or they don't find it. And so therefore they make mistakes. They don't have anything to build upon. You know, they're unaware of it. So they make errors. People go and get extreme. Also, he says here that most of the individuals who started or got into this or were the causes, if not all of them, basically because of ignorance, which I think is clear, some kind of jahil. Sometimes these people, they have no deep knowledge of Sharia at all. Very superficial. غير مختصين بالشريعة بعلوم الشريعة. They haven't read any of these books like we mentioned before. They don't have any background. And this comes clear to anybody who argues with them and talks to them, you know, and sees what they do and who knows what has occurred over time. It becomes clear. Or maybe they heard of something and they never read it. They heard about it and they never read it. Ignorance is a big enemy. Sometimes, he says, it happens from people, they go to extremes when it comes to people or groups looking at their opinions as though that's it. They think that these people come up with something new under the sun. And you know that saying, there's nothing new under the sun. So they think that what they're hearing is something new. And they get all pumped up about that. And they don't realize it. Been done. Been there, done that. Same mistake. However, sometimes the people go back and they look at these others or look at certain people's positions or opinions and so forth. Doesn't necessarily mean, in all cases, that those people haven't looked at any of the writings or any of the statements of these Quranic, for example. Because their words are almost like exact quotes and almost clear that some of them definitely delve into it. In fact, I know someone personally who I had some association with for a few years, who openly, he still does, praise the Khawarij as the heroes of the Ummah, as the brave of the Ummah, and that those who talk against them are just petrodollar sheikhs, and all they're doing is just parody. He calls some Khawarij, you know, the great leaders, and that how they fought against tyranny and so forth over the ages. And so therefore, the kings of this world had to try to blame them and to put the bad word on them so people wouldn't listen to them, basically. And he openly considered himself what he called a neo-Khariji. Openly. And openly espoused the ideas. And openly built the ideology upon his twisted understanding. So they exist. Some people are subtle. They have some of the ideas. But this guy, he said, no, you guys are all wrong. In fact, you're lying against these people. So he's going to deny all history, saying, well, it's not history. But I know for a fact this person is a liar or insane, because this same person, he's the type of person who will take hadith, if it doesn't suit him, he'll throw it out, even if it's sahih. Follow his own ideology. And he goes so far as to try to tie great Sahabas into his ideology. In particular, like Zubair, and Aisha, and Umar, got this special thing about particularly pointing to great women, because he tries to paint himself as a champion of women. So he makes ahkam, like women can give khutbah Jumu'ah and become the Khalifa and things like this. And never saw him follow his wife in prayer though. I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill, but to let you know these ideas exist. And when you see it, for sure, it's clear, it should be clear to you, this guy is off. And he played against to African Americans the slavery card, because he knows African Americans are sensitive to that issue. And I give you a manifestation of extremism, breaking from the Jama'ah and separating himself from it. Because the Salat al-Eid was hundreds of and thousands of Muslims praying the Eid. And there's rulings regarding this. Even if you don't agree that they're doing on the right day. This man was so far to call himself praying Eid with two people. This is Salat al-Eid. And refusal to following the Jama'ah of the Muslims. Allah is dangerous. It's very dangerous, people like this.
You don't want to warn against
them? Well, I'm warning against them by telling you these ideas. And as far as the name, I'm debating. I have come right out and said it in the past. But I'm debating. Because I think it's clear. This first point of the branches of Ghulu and the historical roots, this is the first part of it. Now the second part, he mentions the ideological type of fikriya, he calls it. Al-judur al-fikriya wal-amal al-ilmiya. This can kind of be put into two categories. Ignorance, meaning people really being bred practically anti-knowledge, or very shortcoming in their knowledge, or B, really big holes in their manhaj, in their methodology. That is a, you know, when you say manhaj, we mean how do you derive the aqidah? How do you derive the deen? How do you make rulings? The real shortcoming in this, and they make up their own thing sometimes. The third الجذور النفسية. And he tries to summarize this as follows. If it is found shortcomings and faults in the actual personality, psychology of the extremist, this is something you can find actually. SubhanAllah, it's so true. You have to look at this on an individual basis though. You can't just like lump them. I'd say all of them got problems up here. Or all of them got problems in here, in the heart. But, you know, you have to look specifically. Because truly some of them, some people, they have mental problems. They have really psychological problems. Without doubt, they got agendas. They got issues, as they say today. They have baggage. And they bring that in. Second, you find often these shortcomings or these faults go back to pressure. And sometimes people are exposed to pressure. And people aren't born crooked. See, we don't have that concept. People born crooked. So sometimes things occur. Could be something that had to do with the way they're educated or not educated. Or some type of, you know, circumstances that pushed them into this type of stuff that they weren't able to withstand. And so what we find, sometimes these extremists, they respond to pressure with these very, you know, reactionary type responses. And you find it, he says, especially, unfortunately, amongst the youth. They are more susceptible than any other group to falling into extremism. And a lot of it has to do because of lack of knowledge and lack of experience. And experimentation is on their part as well. Often, ghulu is a response to something. It's a reaction. A natural reaction, maybe to a series or chain of events or problems that people find themselves in or in their society. Whether it's some type of social thing or political problems or economic problems. So for sure you find this as a reaction here. People are under this pressure from these different areas and it pushes them or they end up going off the path and going too far. And he says here, we can look therefore at two matters. When it comes to the ideas or the concepts of people, the concepts which have the effects on the members of society. Sometimes people not accepting what is going on. People can't deal with that. So they reject. Both of them lead to the same, or lead to extremism. And sometimes people just kind of react to things because really themselves they don't have the proper academic tools or the knowledge tools to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't have the methodology to deal with it. You know, intellectually, you know, academically wise. And sometimes these reactions, just because they just don't have any, even a physical way to deal with it. So they resort to extremes because they can't do it. They don't have power. They don't have mechanism. They don't have infrastructure or whatever. They don't have the things that would allow them to withstand that or to deal with it in a lesser way or in a way that's sufficient. So they have to go too far. It happens often. People find themselves in a weak position and they feel that all they can do is totally way far because they got no choice. They feel like they're up against the wall. But it's still...